Thank you, Sister Sisiski. What a great message and song, amen. We forget that sometimes, don't we? Christ died for me. Isn't that amazing? Boy, that's awesome right there. Well, the pastor's away this morning, but I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to make his way on up here. Most of y'all know Brother Parsons. He's our vice president of the college. He's our bus driver. He's our maintenance man. He is our professor. He is our janitor. Whatever needs to be done, this man takes care of it. Amen. Come on, preach for us, Brother Barry.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to 1 Peter. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody. Everybody that sang this morning, my cup is full. Amen. And I sat back and told another brother in the auditorium this morning, I grew up in a small church, not nearly this size, in the choir. It was always good. Amen. But boy, the choir here, choir, thank you. Boy, it just gets in your soul. Amen. And when I was a teenager, I remember my youth pastor talking about it, and I used it as a youth pastor as well. Boy, I call it, it gets the Holy Spirit hulked out inside of me. Amen. I can't help but keep my hands start moving up. Amen. And I mean, the Holy Spirit inside me I don't lift my hand because I want everybody to see my hand. I can't hold it down. Amen. And boy, that song, Miss Tiffany, thank you so much. What a blessing. Amen. If you can't preach after that, you might as well hang her up, friend. Amen. 1 Peter, amen. His life or mine. What a blessing. Amen. There's great messages and song. And here in 1 Peter, I just, let me say, I know that you guys hear it all the time, but it is a great, great privilege and a pleasure to preach behind this place. My preacher, to know that my preacher trusts me to do this is a pleasure, and then it scares me every time, but this is what God called me to do. Amen. I do all the other things that brother mentioned so I can do this. Amen. And because this is what he called me to do, and I'll turn wrenches, I'll get greasy, I'll do whatever my preacher asked me to do, but what a blessing when he asked me to do this. Amen. And here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, what a blessing it is to open God's Word. If you would, if you'd bow your head and just pray with me this morning, let me ask God to help me one more time before I preach this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I come to you today, dear God. So many songs have been sung about you this morning, dear God, and we love you with all our heart. And dear God, this church building is full of people who know you and know that they're on their way to heaven. Dear God, I pray that the saint would be encouraged today through the message that you've put on and laid on my heart. I pray that if there is one here today, if someone has walked through the doors and anywhere on this property today, dear God, I beg you that the gospel would be preached, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and their heart would be touched. And they would respond, dear God, today, if there be one in this auditorium, dear God, dear Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would begin the work, that through the music you began to work, that through the preaching today, through the scripture, that you would pierce the heart, and that they would walk the aisle today, and that they would gloriously come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you, dear God, that you do what I cannot do, that you would just touch hearts, use my lips, just let me be the messenger boy of Christ today to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the sinner, to the lost, and to the saint. I beg you, dear God, today that you'd use your word to do what I can't do, to just change lives, and I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, if you would, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I didn't know if I was going to make it through there, and I didn't say it the way my preacher would. He's correct every time, however he pronounces it. But here in verse 2, election according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to just speak and preach to you today the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every time I get to preach on Sunday morning, I can't help but testify that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus saves? Jesus saves. Listen, there's not a God in this world that's bigger than my God. Hey, there's all kinds of things that's out there this morning, if you would, that call themselves gods. And here, if you look back in the very first part of the chapter, it deals with it. We have a lively hope. Listen, I don't serve a dead Dagon. I don't serve a dead God that's on the shelf. I don't serve a God that's a little tiny God. I serve the only God, the only real God, and Almighty God, the Father God, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity God. I serve a God that's alive and well today, that His Word cannot be broken. He said in the Scripture, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Can I tell you this morning that we serve a lively hope, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm wound up this morning, friend. I just want to tell you that God is real. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to start this off, and I hope that I can help some people today. If you don't have it down, I thought we could, you know, what's going to happen later in this week is we're going to get a new president, hopefully. Amen. Amen. And I want to try to explain the very first verse and put it into some language some of you have wrapped your mind around here lately. It talks about the election. Now listen, there's some real false doctrine out there about election. All right? And it seems to me to be permeating even good places. Thank God that we got a great preacher that'll preach on this. And I just want to help some people today. Maybe it might not be a help to you in here, but be a help to somebody at home, or be a help to you to explain it to somebody else. See, what happened, we sometimes, they've got this idea that election is God chose this group and not this group. That God chose, he chose Brother Perkins, but he didn't choose me. But that don't line up with the old book of John, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Listen, he loved the whole world, friend. He died for the whole world, friend. Listen, the reason that election is in there, and if you just continued to read past it, it's the election according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, isn't that great that he put Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit right there in the very first verse? He put salvation right there. Election is just something that God knows everything. That God is so big that he can look down, and because he doesn't live inside a time like you and me, he looked down from heaven and he saw the end from the beginning, in the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. That's how big my God is. And that same God knows who is going to accept him and who's not. That's just how it is. That's election in a nutshell. But let me put it to you kind of in this way. Do you know that think about it like this, all right? Election, we elected a president, whether the liberals think we did or not. Amen. Amen? And he went through a process. He went through all of them knuckleheads that we didn't think was going to let him be the presidential elect, amen, or the Republican Party. And he went through that process. The Republican Party chose him to be their delegate, to go up there and to represent the Republican Party. All right? That's one part of God. All right? God the Father, in the book of Ephesians, chose us before the foundation of the world. All right? And then all the people that voted for him got up out of their seat and did the work that he needed done, because he couldn't be president without you going and making a vote for him. And you know what? The Lord Jesus left heaven and died on Calvary's cross and paid. Listen, Donald Trump didn't elect himself. The country elected Donald Trump. Amen? You voted or I voted. Whoever voted for him. He had enough. Amen? Even if we don't do a recount, we got it down. Amen? Listen, I'm so glad that the work of salvation was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, and listen, this is the good part. This is when it starts to get really good. Do you know, then my preacher got started getting worried that all these people in the Electoral College weren't going to do their job, that they weren't going to follow the American people and their vote. And the Holy Spirit of God, listen, do you know the Holy Spirit of God is just, I mean, everything he does is to lift up the Lord Jesus. And all those people in the Electoral College are supposed to listen to the people that elected them. And they went in, and most of them, the good ones, some of the saved ones, went in there and made their vote for Donald Trump. And now he's President-elect Trump. But you know what's going to have to happen? Even though, listen to me, even though the Republican Party voted for him, even though the American people voted for him, even though the Electoral College voted for him, he's still not president. Because one day, here soon, on Friday, he's going to have to walk up. He's going to have to lay his hand on the Bible, and he's going to have to take the oath of office. And if he doesn't take that oath, he's not president, friend. He's got to stand before the people and say, this is, and confess that he wants to be president, that he accepts the duty of president, that he's going to do all those things. Listen, guess what, Dave? Listen, way before I was ever born, an almighty God chose me before the foundation of the world, before he ever made the very first man. He said, I'm going to save the man I'm going to make. And I'm going to do it through my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his son from heaven, and his son died on Calvary, and then the Holy Spirit of God came down into the world ready and waiting and pulling and leading people unto himself. And one day, when I decided I wanted it for myself, I confessed the name of Christ. I, believing in him, took him by faith as my Savior. Listen to me today. Listen, I'm an elect of God, but it's because I chose to be saved of all. Not because of my works, but because I accepted what he did for me. Listen, anybody that's under the sound of my voice, anybody that's in this world, anybody that's ever been, took breath and been alive, if they choose to accept Jesus as their Savior, he'll save them so quick it'll make their head spin. Because he did all the work. It's done, friend. Don't get mixed up on election. Don't get mixed up that somebody, listen, isn't it funny that all the people that believe in election believe only their family's elected? Nobody's left out of their family.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. Nobody's left out of their group. He didn't elect that group over there. Amen. If we believed in election, then this side'd be saved because this is the side I sit on. Amen. This side'd be lost. Y'all in trouble. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. Listen, isn't it good that don't matter where we sit, what family we were born into, Jesus came, God chose us. God died for me. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. And listen, all we got to do is simply trust in him. But isn't that good? But you know what? Hey, once I got saved, I thought that was it. That wasn't it, friend. That was just the beginning.
Yes, sir.
That was just the beginning. I started to realize just what kind of lively hope I had. Just what I got. Listen, I didn't realize what I was getting when I got Jesus. I didn't realize how good he was. I didn't realize that he wanted to give me life and life more abundant. That life that I could have lived without him was just a shallow shell of what it could be if I lived for him. Glory to God today. Listen to me. I'm here to tell you, God is so big. Listen, he's not like other gods. He's not like something else that we could believe. It says that in verse number 3, if you look, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Can I say, number one, if you take notes this morning, we have a lively hope in Jesus Christ. Listen, don't forget that. Don't forget that, listen, so many times we in this life, we come to some kind of not. Listen, do you realize, listen, I know that God is God, and sometimes we think that we can sneak off into some corner and God ain't where we're at. You think God only lives here at the church house? God is the God on the mountains. He's the God in the valley. He's the God in the closet. He's the God in the balcony. He's the God in the bathroom. He's God of everything, friend. He's God on the bus route on the way home, and he's in the home.
Amen.
Or at least he ought to be. Amen? Hey, can I tell you today that, listen, we have a lively hope, and boy, we ought to treat him that way. I believe we have a generation that is growing up today that does not believe that they serve a living God. They believe that he's the God of that book. And that God of that book is just, listen, that he's just the God of that book, that he's the God of the Old Testament, that he's God of the New Testament, but he's not God of today. Let me tell you, friend, let me tell you, preacher boys that are here today, listen, he's God, he's God, he's God, he's a living God. He lives inside of me, he lives inside of you, he lives all around us. Listen, we can't get away from him. And listen, I just decided a long time ago I was going to take him at his word that he was living, and I'm going to serve him. Because if he's living, listen, if he died for me, if he loved me before the foundation of the world, if everything that in eternity is tied up in him, that my life should be tied. Listen, do you know what I'm talking? You know, if you could get a sure thing in this life, why wouldn't you anchor yourself to it and follow it? Amen. Amen. We live in a world where, listen, they try to look for all kinds of things. People try to invest in sure things. I've heard people talk about all these investments. Well, you can invest in this, you can invest in that. Listen, you know, I heard a preacher talk about his investment. He had this, man, he had a sure thing, and I mean, he was going to put his money in it. He went to his brother, he said, it's a $1,000 investment. If we just put our money in here, if it's a thousand, I'll put up five, you put up five. Amen. He said, we got a sure thing here, we'll make money. They invested their money. He went to his father, who happened to be his pastor, and he said, Dad, what do you think about this? I just did this investment. He said, listen, what you need to do is go get 500, Chris, $500 bills, $100 bills. And he said, kiss every one of them goodbye, because they're going to be gone. And he said, what? And he said, Dad, I'm just telling you, if you're going to invest in that, just kiss them goodbye and let them go, because they're gone. Amen. And he said, oh, come on, that can't be it. And then he went and he made his investment. Amen. Listen, he made that investment. He said, and it wasn't long. He said, the first $500 was gone. He said, I said, man, my brother lost his money. Amen. He said, it wasn't long. He said, the rest of mine wasn't worth much either. Can I tell you, nothing that you invest in Jesus Christ is going like that. If you realize everything that you do for him, man, it's laid up. It's on the other side. Listen, I think he is the best investment that you could ever make. Listen, he is the best. Listen, you can't give enough to outgive God. Not that you, listen, I've heard people, boy, I tithe because I want a brand new car. It's never worked like that for me. Amen. I tithe because it's right to do. I tithe because the book says I'm supposed to tithe. I tithe because God commanded me to give back to him. If he give me 100%, don't he deserve 10? I'm just telling you, you know, I know that's not popular preaching. I'm just trying to tell you that's part of the whole book. Amen. It's a lively hope. He's alive, so I'm going to give him what he wants. Amen. Listen to me now. Listen, but then I get to give him, because I love him, something else. I get to give back to that lively hope, and I get to invest in him. I don't just get to give my time and tooling on things and working in the bathroom and cleaning up and picking up trash and investing myself in people. Listen, all those things are investment, but I can take hard-earned money that God gives me, and I can give it back to him with a smile. You know, my family and I, we talked about, my wife and I talked about it. You know, we're trying to figure out this thing here. You know, I realize, I mean, I know the preacher, it's going to give him great peace of mind, but I'm a part of this church. This is my church, okay? I walked down the aisle just like you did, and I joined this place, and I made myself a part. That's my debt. Amen? That's mine. That ain't the preacher's debt. That's my debt. And I decided a long time ago, listen, when the preacher decided to do this, man, I want my kids. Listen, I want my kids to see. I want to talk with them. What are we going to do to see this thing burn? What are we going to do? Listen, it's going to do me no good if I do it in secret away from my children and I don't talk about it with them. They're not going to see any victory in that thing. They're not going to be able to jump up and down. They can see the church or somebody did that, you know, but I want them to have a part in it. I want them to grow up knowing that God is real and that God is good, that this place is theirs. Listen, I believe that, listen, we've missed the boat, that sometimes it's mom and daddy's church and it's not my church. It's mom and daddy's place. They just drag me down there and then they go looking for their own church. Hey, it's time for us to grow up. You're in the big church now. Realize that this is your church. That, listen, Jesus died for you and he wants you to be alive and well with him too. He wants you to know that he's alive and to be a part of this thing. You say, Brother Parson, I'm not a member here. Well, what's wrong? What's holding you up? Amen. I wouldn't want to just come and be a part of it. I want to walk the aisle and I want to make it official. Amen. If a little bit of water is holding you up, we can take care of that today too. We baptize people and cell phones here. Amen. Amen. A lively hope. He's so good to us, man. He's better than we could ever make it out to be. And listen, and you say, Brother Parsons, man, what do I get out of this thing? Look at what he says. He says to an four, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Listen, what an investment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that he's a lively hope and that he's better than anything that I could ever hope for, but then he starts talking right away to the believer about an inheritance. Listen, do you know that I'm never going to die? I started to live forever when I got saved. I'm not going to get eternal life. I got eternal life. Amen. And that I got inheritance. I got an inheritance on the other side. Listen, sometimes we want to preach about the mansion that's on the other side. I don't know what it's like. I can read about the Bible and we could all argue and go back and forth about whether it's a room, whether it's a place, whether it's a great big old mansion or what it is. But listen, wherever Jesus is, it's going to be good. Amen. And if he's been working on it since he left, it ought to be pretty good. Amen. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hey, I want more than anything to have an inheritance when I get there. He talks about in this chapter about how it's going to be tried, the trial of our faith and the fire that could be there and everything. Listen, I don't have time to preach that today, but I want you to get and understand that, listen, when we get saved, our sins are gone. But boy, once we get saved, listen, our works for him begin to start to count. And he is going to, one day he will judge us, but it will not be for sin, friend. It's going to be for what we had opportunity to do for him. It's for the opportunities that we had to live for him. When I stand across from the gas pump from somebody else and the Holy Spirit tugs upon my heart to give a track or to give the gospel, whatever it is, listen, I have an opportunity to serve him. Listen, I'm going to stand before an almighty God and I'm going to be judged for that. Every time I came to church, every time I put money in the plate, listen, he's going to judge me for my motives of why I did it. And all that's there, boy, it's going to catch fire. And some of it because my motives weren't right. I talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I have a beautiful wife over here. Don't look. She's going to turn red right now. And I've been married to her my whole life. And so I got married when I was 2. And I've been married 22 years. Amen. So that's not true. Anyway, so that was just a little side note. I didn't want to tell you a lie, okay, because it was a 4. Anyway, so I got married, and I remember as a teenager, I would go to church, and I really liked her. And man, Sunday night would come. You know, Dr. Lee Robertson would say it takes 3 to thrive. So you can be saved and not thrive for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thrive means to be alive, and everybody knows it. Not to be a bump in a log and die, but everybody can see that you love the Lord Jesus. You're on fire for him. You're alive. You're thriving. Amen. And so he would say that about that. And I remember Sunday night, my dad would be like, you know, some TV show would be on or the game would be on. My dad he'd get to the place where he didn't want to go. And I'd say, Daddy, you know you ought to be in church. Now, my motives weren't right because I wanted to see that girl. Amen. I didn't want to go to church so I could hear the preaching. I wanted to go because there was going to be a girl that was going to sit through the preaching with me. And back then, I'd like, preach on, preacher, because I got to sit by that girl. Amen. Let's go into overtime, double overtime. Preach on. Amen. I get to sit beside my beautiful girlfriend. Amen. Well, that girlfriend became my wife. But listen, do you know, all those times, I didn't have the right motive for going to church and being a part of those things. I'm not going to get any reward for that. I'm not going to get any reward. But listen, I've got an inheritance laid up. Do you realize that we got an inheritance that's uncorruptible by the world? It's incorruptible and it's undefiled. The Bible says that it fadeth not away. Do you realize that everything that God builds, it's eternal? I'm not building those things. I'm not the one up there throwing the hammer. That's why we got to constantly be working on the buses and working on things. I wish that everything Brother Wiebe touched, man, didn't ever have to be worked on again. Amen. Brother Wiebe, I watch him work on stuff. And then after he gets done putting it all together, he puts his hands on it and starts praying. Amen. 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 I think everybody, I'm not going to go any farther with that, Brother Wiebe. We're going to stay right there. Amen. Amen. Listen, I got an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I must haste. I wanted to preach a little longer there, but look at it with me. He says, who are kept by the power of God. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, I'm here to tell you, if there ever was a last time, it's getting close, ain't it? I believe that the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. I know my preacher has preached that since he was my age when he stood in this same place and believed that Jesus was going to come on Monday. Listen, friend, you know what will hurt us and not show us to the world as a lively hope? I think some of us just got old with us. Listen, Jesus could come Monday. Donald Trump may never be president because the Lord Jesus Christ will come and snatch us out of here. Hey, we better believe that. There is a lost and dying world that needs to see a group of people that work, not for anniversary Sunday at the end of the month, but because Jesus could come tomorrow. That Jesus could come today. Before I get my lunch, some of us, well, we're so caught up with what's for dinner. I know that there's a chicken in the crock pot with my name on it. If the Lord tarries, is coming. But I'm going to tell you today, as good as that chicken and dumplings are at my house, amen, I'd rather see Jesus face to face. And I shouldn't just long for it. I should work towards it. Listen, this thing here, sometimes I'm talking to God's people now, okay? I'm talking to the members of this local body. Sometimes we get that eternal perspective and we'll wait to the last minute. Listen, we have to live like Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Amen. But we got to work. Like, what if he doesn't come back 10 years from now or a year from now? We got to live and work and pray and seek after people and make plans just like he's not going to come for 10 years, but we ought to live every day to the fullest like he could come the next minute, the next hour. Listen, I'm here to tell you that we serve a living God and there's a great inheritance that's tied up with him. But listen, more than anything, I beg you today, listen, I beg you to realize that, listen, we're kept by his power. We're kept by his power and that one day he's going to come back for his own. We need to live, listen, like it's the last time. Do you know, before I came up here, when I read this today, I thought to myself, and you preachers understand this, some of you that, I mean, I'm preaching to a mess of preachers. I want you to understand this, listen. When you come to the gravity of if this was it, if this was the very last time that I ever got to stand and preach the Word of God, there's all kinds of good things you can preach. There's all kinds of things that will turn people's head and, man, get a good amen. But if this was the last time, I'd preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If it was my last time, I'd want to preach the unsearchable riches and the inheritance and the goodness of God and that he could come before I finish. Right. Listen, this morning, for some of you, your inauguration day came a long time ago when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. What have you been doing while you've been in office? For the rest of you that sit here and you don't know for sure that you died today, you don't know for sure if you died today that you go to heaven. You're not sure of that 100%. Well, today could be the day that you accepted Christ. Today could be the day that you just trust in him and just confess him with your mouth and accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. And boy, listen, I hope you do that before, as the verse says, the last time. There's going to come a day that the trump of God is going to sound. And those that have heard the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you won't get another chance at salvation. You say, Brother Parsons, you sound like a used car salesman. Listen, I don't care what I sound like today. I'm preaching what Jesus preached in the Bible. Amen. Hey, I preach because I don't want anybody to miss heaven. Because the alternative to that is to a place of eternal damnation, a place of fire, the place called hell. I don't want anybody to go there, not even my worst enemy, if that would be the case. I want you to accept Jesus today if you're not sure. Listen, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior, don't go another day without him. Don't go another moment without Him. Don't trust that you've got from here to home to get it done. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. With heads bowed and eyes